Hello and welcome to the Cloud Solution Architect podcast, where we talk to Azure architects from across the globe and discuss interesting and creative Azure solutions. This is your host, Anand Kumar. I work as a Cloud Solution Architect for Microsoft in the New York City region. For more Cloud Solution Architect podcast episodes, animated Azure videos, and simplified how-to content articles on Azure, please check out www.azuremonk.com. That's www.azuremonk.com. If you've ever tried to learn cloud computing online using videos or podcasts, you've almost certainly stumbled upon the work created by today's guest. He's the chief technologist at cloudscales.io and has worked with Microsoft and Amazon in the past. Ladies and gentlemen, in today's episode, we have the legendary Mike Pfeiffer on the show. We talk about how Mike started off in the IT space and his journey. We also talk about the work he's currently doing in the education and consulting space. He also describes how fitness plays a critical role in his focus and attention. All this and more. Without further ado, let's get to the show. Hey Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show. Super excited to be here.
Super excited as well. And for the listeners, if you're in the cloud computing space, you've almost certainly heard of Mike Pfeiffer, his Pluralsight videos and his cloudscales.fm podcast have been instrumental in getting thousands of people both learn Azure and other cloud technologies and also get certified on them. And Mike, I've been a religious follower of your podcast where you outlined your interesting and your inspiring journey of how you got started off in IT. But for the benefit of listeners here, can you please walk us through your journey in IT and how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, sure. I started in the IT industry way back in basically the late 90s. And I, you know, was pretty much just a college dropout. Wasn't really sure what I was going to do with my career. I was living in really kind of a bad part of town. I was in a city in the U.S. called Albuquerque, New Mexico. And so if you've ever watched the TV show Breaking Bad, same exact city. And that's where I was. That's pretty much with the high school there. And, college just wasn't resonating with me. I wasn't seeing really the value and like how it was going to play out for me. But I was also, you know, unsure of where I was going to go in my career. So I was working at the ski lodge or the ski area in town, just kind of bumming around, snowboarding during the days and working at night. But eventually I realized, all right, I need to figure something out. And I ended up getting a job offer to go work the help desk. So I started working help desk at America Online, AOL, if you remember those guys back in the old days. Mm-hmm. One of the first dial-up internet service providers in the world. And then I went from there to Gateway Computers, where I really got more technical. And I was, you know, working with end users and eventually went into like the business unit and started helping business customers. Ended up kind of getting my MCSE certification in Windows NT 4. And then I made it out of the help desk thanks to that. And so really my introduction to the industry was thanks to somebody that I'd worked for in the past in another call center. And she, you know, got into that world and pulled me in. And fortunately, I just fell in love with technology. I just became obsessed. And, you know, so once I started working help desk, I would go home after my shifts and I would study until I couldn't keep my eyes open. And that's pretty much how I got my MCSE certification. And, you know, from there, I pretty much got into a small business consulting type of situation. So I worked for a company in the Albuquerque area where they would just, you know, go out and set up computer networking for small businesses. So literally like insurance offices and strip malls, hotels, just real small businesses. And we would go out there, you know, build them a server, basically a generic white box server, and then a bunch of workstations, go out and network all the computers together, set up file and printer sharing and internet access. It was kind of funny, but we would do all of that stuff. And doing all the infrastructure, you know, the server builds, both from the physical perspective to installing the software, deploying all the applications, and even setting up like, you know, the routers for the internet and all that kind of stuff. I learned a lot. And in that time frame, I continued to study, continued to get more certifications. And then I got, you know, a job working in bigger consulting companies. And so after that experience, I moved over to Phoenix, Arizona, where I'm at today, which is a much bigger city, and spent several years working in for various consulting companies, big Microsoft partners. I worked for a Cisco Gold partner for several years. And that really pulled me into some big enterprise projects where I would do lots of Microsoft-based infrastructure projects. And I got really skilled in Active Directory and Exchange and spent several years doing infrastructure in that space. And eventually, after about a decade, I started to get involved with the community, do things like user groups. I started blogging, ended up going to work at Microsoft for a little while as a premier field engineer, supporting Office 365 and Exchange. Azure AD was obviously in the mix there as well. So I was working on that a little bit. And then I got an opportunity to work at AWS. So after, I guess it was probably 15 years in IT at that point, I went over to AWS and I spent a few years there working as a solutions architect. That was really fun. We did all kinds of cool stuff there. And I left AWS right at the beginning of 2016 and have been self-employed ever since. So today I run a company called cloudskills.io. We're a training and consulting company. So spend probably 50% of our time working with customers in the field, doing advisory services, and the other 50% doing training workshops and things like that.
That's awesome. I mean, your journey itself, right? So you started off in the IT infrastructure space and you've had a really wide variety of experiences, right? So right from Azure to AWS and Exchange. And if I remember correctly, you've also had experience in .NET, right? You're a self-learned .NET developer as well, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And actually, I forgot to mention that. My career trajectory has been kind of interesting. I've never worked anywhere longer than 3.5 years, unless it was my own company. So that was definitely the high level, but I did spend about 2 years right at the beginning when .NET came out. I spent 2 years doing ASP.NET development. And so at the beginning, actually I'd started doing web development of classic ASP even before that. And so VBScript was really my first foray into programming. And then when I started doing .NET web development, I got into C# and stuff like that. And then I realized that, 40 hours a week of just doing programming wasn't exactly what I wanted to do. So I kind of moved back into infrastructure, but I've always had a real big interest in software development. And it's actually really helped us in our business today because we do work with a lot of software teams. Being able to understand what developers are doing and the infrastructure team has been really critical.
That's totally right. So with this wide variety of experience, right? So is there a particular project that stands out, when, let's say, a particular project that you're really proud about or something which has created a big impact? I know there's going to be many projects over the period of time, but is there something that stands out in your memory?
Yeah, I think so. I would say the stuff that we've just been doing in the last couple of years, mainly our immersive training programs, because I've done so many training things. I've done lots of Pluralsight videos. Probably like, I think 25 courses now for them. I've done some stuff on LinkedIn Learning. And that's one way of teaching. But I got my first start in teaching doing live classroom training. So I got my MCT certification about 10 years ago. And there was a couple years there where I almost did nothing but teach classes. And that was cool. But I think what happens with that is, you get to the end of 5-day class. And, if you're trying to learn something like Azure from the beginning, it's pretty overwhelming. Like if it's your first week, right? It's like you walk out at the end of the week and you're kind of staggering around. So what we've been doing in our company is doing more immersive programs where it's like 6-8 weeks. And we really kind of break it down, stretch out the content over a longer period of time so people can get, more depth and kind of absorb the information in a better way. Mm-hmm. But we also have a community that we built around it. So like all the people that have gone through our immersive programs are, connected. We have different rotations going through. And then like, we're really focused in that community on creating an impact for people. So it's not just, hey, you sign up and you run through 6 or 8 weeks of training and that's it. We're there to amplify these folks' careers as well. So inside the community, people are supporting each other. And sometimes we'll bring folks into other stuff that we're working on. So for example, we've got a book coming out this month. So an actual Microsoft Press book that helps people study for the AZ-300 certification that was co-authored by myself and Tim Warner, who's also an Azure MVP. But we also had three people from our community, our cloud skills community, co-opted that as well, because they've gone through some of our immersive trainings. And so for me, doing a completely different kind of training structure, where most of it's live, where it's stretched out over a longer period of time, that was just something that I felt like was needed, and it really worked really well. So I would say that's probably the proudest one in recent last couple of years that I would kind of key on there.
Absolutely. And I think it's extremely critical at this point of time, because the landscape is changing so drastically. Having the right kind of education and the fundamentals is really going to be critical for anybody entering into the cloud computing space. And I have watched a lot of your videos on Pluralsight, and I can completely attest that the way you teach and break down the concepts is just amazing. And I'm sure the new method that you said is going to be, a deep immersive learning, that's just going to be really, really helpful.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. One of the things to try to do with the videos is make them as digestible as possible and not stretch things out, so you can just get in there, get the information you need, and then get out, and also get it, a lesson that makes sense. And we do that in our immersive programs, but I think the benefit really is kind of the combination of the community, being able to ask questions, but also letting the information sink in over a longer period of time. And we actually are going to get ready to open the doors to another run, starting here at the end of this month. Right now it's November 2019. So at the end of this month, we'll open up enrollment for our next immersive program. And that one will kick off at the beginning of January. So that one's going to help folks leverage, DevOps technologies, understand that landscape, pick up a certification. And this one, we'll be doing the AZ-400 Azure DevOps certification as a focus. But that's really the idea. So I'm looking forward to that. We're excited about it.
Awesome. That's really cool. So I'll definitely go ahead and add the link in the show notes for this episode. For if people want to get registered to the training that you mentioned in November, that'll be really awesome. I'll share the link.
You just go to cloudskills.io, and by the time you listen to this, if you don't see anything on the page, just opt into our webinar that we got on the front page there. But if it's up and running, then you'll see it and be able to get signed up.
Awesome. And Mike, some of the advice that you share on the cloudskills.fm podcast, right, have personally helped me and many others that I know in the learning path towards any cloud computing technology, it can be Azure or AWS, especially tips like, learning a skill outside your working hours and, sort of committing to a user group and, delivering a session, etc. But if somebody came to you today and said, hey, what would be your best advice for someone starting off in the cloud computing space? What would be your advice?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. And I would say, first of all, make sure that you're not chasing dollar signs. Make sure you're working on something in cloud that you're super excited about. Because the biggest thing that I see people struggling with when they're first getting into picking something like this and kind of deciding what direction they're going to go next, if you're not doing something that makes you want to work on it, right? You're not excited to jump out of bed and go work on it. No amount of money is going to fix that. And I've actually learned that lesson personally the hard way. So first things first, I would say is make sure that you're honing in on something that, since you're going to be spending so much time on it, you're actually excited to do. And if you haven't found that yet, I would continue exploring in the cloud space. Obviously, depends on your goal, right? Maybe being a cloud architect or a cloud developer is just a goal and a bigger picture dream, which that's cool. So maybe that changes the conversation a little bit, but I would say make sure that whatever it is you're aiming at as a target or, a big goal in your career is something you're excited to work about or work on. So that's kind of step one. So for me, for example, I love automation and I spend most of my time, if I can, working on things like deployment automation. We work a lot with teams doing DevOps projects, things like that, helping teams leverage infrastructure as code and kind of get into that world. So that for me, that like I can geek out on that all the time. And so that's why all the other things that I do around it kind of enables that mission for me. And so first step would be find something that you're super excited about in cloud. And then, it's really about getting active. You have to take an enormous amount of action to make those goals happen, right? So you have to be constantly chipping away every single day, or consistently as possible, right? You have to have a routine. Otherwise, it's going to be much harder. So those are just kind of the first couple of things shooting from the hip, I would say, that we have to do. You have to have a game plan of what is it that I'm actually going to be doing here? Am I going to be studying an hour a day? Am I taking a test coming up in 6 weeks? And so being really organized, having a mission, having you know, something that you're working towards that you're excited about, to me, is the key.
Awesome. Yep. Very, very good advice. And I also remember, Mike, there was a particular episode where you talk about is when Kubernetes version the way it is that a fad or not, right? Mm-hmm. And there was something that really resonated to me in that episode where you said, even if a particular technology is a fad or not, don't just state the problem or just don't state why it won't work. Mm-hmm. If proposing a solution to the problem that you just brought about, that's what's going to make a difference. And that was really good advice, right? On that note, I want to ask you, what's your strategy or your hack, if you may, to keep up with the latest technologies, be it fad or not? What's the...
Right. Yeah, well, I'm glad you mentioned that. And before I kind of go down into strategies on staying up to date, just to touch on that real quick, there is a certain amount of, you know, there's going to be highs and lows, right? So if you're trying to get into this or go to the next level in your career, you know, even if you're excited about the outcome, there is going to be, you know, insanely high highs, and there's going to be times where it sucks and you want to quit. And so sometimes you might have to work on something in that realm that isn't exactly what you want to be doing, or you might be working on something that isn't going to, take off in the end. And a lot of what we're all doing, right, is betting on technologies in our careers. And I've done this a lot of times in my career. I've had bets pay off, like when I doubled down on Active Directory before anybody knew what that was, and NetWare, or Novell NetWare, was pretty much the market leader for server OS. Doubling down on Active Directory really paid off for me. Same thing when PowerShell came out, 8 years later or whatever. Nobody was excited the day that, the Exchange team rebuilt or announced that they rebuilt the entire Exchange product on PowerShell, but I was, right? So those worked out. But there was a couple other things along the way that I worked on that I bet on personally that I didn't really enjoy. So you have to respect kind of the highs and lows, but as long as you have an outcome that you're chasing after, that's what's going to pull you through the low times, right? So I want to touch on that because it's important. So if it's like, if you're grumbling about Kubernetes being a fad, or Docker containers are a fad, or serverless is a fad, just like you said, like I mentioned in that episode, complaining is not adding value to the conversation. So if you're going to be, I think we all should be doing more of, expressing our viewpoints on these things that we're learning about and we're using in the field. But you got to make sure that when you're doing that, it adds value to the conversation. So it's not just venting. It's not just, shooting down some kind of project or product or service. You want to add value to the conversation. So going from there, kind of switching gears from that, you mentioned, how do I keep up to date? Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes that's highs and lows as well, right? Sometimes it's just work. You don't feel like doing it. You mm-hmm. don't feel like spending the extra hour that day or 30 minutes, but you do it anyways. And it kind of goes back to what I was saying before. You have to have a system or routine in place. For me, the way I do that is I get up earlier than everybody else. So at my house, I get up about 4 a.m, 4:30. That's when I get a lot of my early work done in terms of just getting ready for the day, what's on the calendar, what's, what am I working on, all that kind of stuff. But the most important thing is that's when I look at the updates, right? I see what's going on out there. What are people talking about? Where can I add value? So mm-hmm. what are things I'm reading that I might think other people should be paying attention to? So I'll share that. And kind of get that going. And I think the focused concentration time and having a schedule of when is it you're going to keep up to date has to be established. And then you have to follow through. Like if it's on the calendar, I'm militant about my calendar these days. Like if it's on the calendar, I do it whether I want to or not. And that's the price for, achieving that big outcome that you want, right? So, my mission I'm excited about, but sometimes the day-to-day sucks, right? So just got to push through it. But it's actually spending the time on top of everything else you're already doing, to stay on top of technology. So getting it scheduled, following through, staying consistent. And then obviously there's a variety of sources you can learn from. So I think that, you know, that's kind of tricky too, because some people want to listen to audio, right? So they can go to the gym and stay up to date, or some people want to watch videos. Some people would prefer to read. So it's kind of like, you got to figure out how do you like to consume content, and then find people in the community or different outlets that are sharing that information. And then sometimes, you know, you kind of got to challenge what you're seeing there. Not everything that comes across your desk is going to make sense. So sometimes, you know, knowing what is legitimate and what isn't, you'll start to get the hang of that as you start to consume more information and start to see, pay attention to what's going on in the community. So those are a couple of things that I would say. And then, you know, just general kind of watching what people are talking about on social, whether it's Twitter or Reddit, or you like LinkedIn, or you're like Facebook, find where like-minded people are online and get into the conversation, see what they're talking about. That'll give you a better kind of, you know, way to keep your finger on the pulse of what's really happening. And so I'd say get in the game.
I really like what you said, right? Have a dedicated, focused time to, you know, do your work. And it reminds me so much of what Cal Newport mentioned in, you know, his book, Deep Work. So you have a certain time set for just doing your deep work. And then you have your other strategies to keep up with all the, you know, latest updates in technology. That's awesome. That's really, really good advice.
Yeah. And that's like universal. If you, that's a great book that you mentioned, Deep Work, right? There's so many like that. There's books literally just built around the concept of creating a morning routine. So it's definitely nothing new, right? But it's, if you study the people that are really successful, you'll find that, you know, they have a morning routine. So it's really start paying attention to the people that are crushing it, the people that are winning. What do they do differently than the people that aren't, right? And so you start to read these books, like you mentioned, and start to figure out the quote unquote hacks, right? Or just like, what should I be doing that I wasn't doing before? It's going to help me go to that next level.
Absolutely. So let me ask you this, Mike. So this is outside of tech. I know you mentioned you wake up at about 4:30, and that's the time that I usually do my deep work as well. But apart from that, what's your daily routine like? Is there an element of fitness or diet in your routine that you think could be attributing to your continuous learning and you know, your focus?
Yeah, it's a great question. I'm glad you brought it up. I think it does. You know, I've always been really passionate. I've always been really interested in the stuff that I'm working on. However, I do perform better these days because I'm way more intentional about self-care. You know, in the early days, I would literally smoke a pack and a half of cigarettes every day. If I had a stressful day on the job, you know, I'd come home and after smoking all day long, I would, you know, kind of finish off the day with a couple strong drinks, things like that. And when you wake up the next day, obviously you're not in a great mental place to perform at your best, right? So over the years, I learned that lesson and I quit doing all that stuff. And so today, part of my morning routine is, you know, after I get all kind of like the work stuff done that first hour or two in the day, then I hit the gym and that gets me primed for the day. So personally, I like to lift weights. So that's what I do. But, you know, anything that's movement, right, you're going to be starting to, you know, there's so much when it comes to physiology and your brain and your performance. Like, if you want to do well in your career, even if it's not physically related, your brain is going to perform better if you're exercising and you're eating a clean diet, right? So, for me, that's super important. And I'm on top of that way more than I ever have been, probably in the last, I don't know, 10 years. And so it's super important to me. And I guard that time, right? Because there's so many things that could cut into it. You know, you might have a call and it's like, I'll just skip the workout today, or not feeling it. You know, I could spend an extra hour doing these emails, but you really have to like guard it and not let something else steal that away from you, because it's really what's going to get, you know, all of the chemicals flowing in your brain, right? That's going to help you throughout the day. And so that's for me why I'm really big on that.
Absolutely. And I think I couldn't agree more on that, because for me as well, personally, I've also seen a huge difference. And I've also seen a couple of people who I interact with, everybody who has a disciplined fitness routine or anything else for self health care, right? And you can see a direct sort of correlation in their productivity in work. It could be any work, right? It may not be physically intensive, even IT work or any other sort of creative work. There's a direct correlation. And for me, if I don't get my 15 to 20 minutes of meditation in the morning, everything else just goes haywire. But
Yeah, and that's kind of what I get. And people ask me that too. They're like, "Do you meditate?" And I've tried it, but for me, my meditation is going into the gym, putting the headphones on, and that's just I'm in it. You know what I mean? There's nothing. I'm not worrying about what's going to happen after the workout or that day or what happened yesterday. I'm just there doing my thing, and I'm just in the moment, you know. And it's very therapeutic, but it's also a great way to supercharge your physiology to help you perform better. There's no doubt that you're going to make better decisions or you're going to, you know, write better code or build better systems after, you know, a morning of a good workout and clean eating versus, you know, waking up from the night before you were out at the bar all night, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, it's just logical, right? It just makes sense.
Yep, absolutely. So, Mike, if people had to find you online. I know if you just Google Mike Pfeiffer, I'm going to get all your, the work that you have done, be it Plural Side videos or the Cloud Skills website. But if people had to get in touch, is there any other particular way that you prefer? Is there a preferred way that people get in touch with you?
Yeah, so to your point, you know, I've got a lot of stuff out there. You can find me easily. So cloudskills.io is our company. Cloudskills.fm is the podcast that we release an episode every single week. And so those are good. And you know, you can find me through social on Twitter and all that kind of stuff. But I would say if you're not connected to me on LinkedIn or you're not following me on LinkedIn, let's do that, right? So you could just go find me on LinkedIn and follow me, or you can add me to your network. I share every day on LinkedIn. I also live stream on LinkedIn. I've been doing this lately on Fridays. There's been a couple Fridays, like I went to Ignite and stuff like that. I was in Europe a couple of weeks ago and I missed that one, but I'm trying to, I think we've done like six or seven different live streams on there. And so I'm just doing a lot on LinkedIn, and that's kind of like my core social network right now. So hit me up on there for sure, because I'm pumping out, you know, all the stuff that I think is interesting, but also some videos from time to time, different live streams. So that's definitely a place.
Awesome. All right, thank you. And the live stream that you mentioned, I remember the last live stream was about Azure Access for the benefit for the listeners who are, the show. If you want to find out more information about Azure Arc, definitely check out Mike's previous live stream. I think it's last week, November 4th week, is that right? You had the live stream on. Awesome.
Yeah, we had Thomas Mauder on from the cloud advocacy team at Microsoft, and it was actually done at Ignite, and we just posted that. Also just posted one with Tim Warner, posting one tomorrow with Eamon O'Reilly from the Azure Functions team. So for folks listening to this by then, you know, it'll probably be out. But yeah, definitely check it out, because we're always putting stuff out there and just really trying to deliver something that folks in the community can latch onto and then go off and be successful in their careers. And all that kind of stuff. So it's a good time. And yeah, really appreciate you bringing up the last episode on Azure Arc, because that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. On that note, thank you so much, Mike, for being on the show. I really appreciate your time. I'm sure the listeners found this really, really helpful and beneficial. Thank you again for your time.
All right, my pleasure. Really happy to be here. Thank you.